This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. A father can be the provider, protector, caregiver, nurturer, and the disciplinarian. He can be actively involved in the lives of his kids or not around at all. So what makes a good father? Some of us were fortunate enough to learn from what our own fathers, and others weren't so lucky. And joining us to look at the changing role of fathers and programs to teach young men how to be good fathers, Dr. Leif Knoll with Family Success Consortium, Director of the Fatherhood Project with Talbert House, Harold Howard, and Dr. Gary Dick, professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And, you know, before we get started, I'd like to take a moment and pay tribute to my dad. He passed away in 2005. And the amazing thing is I literally would not be here today if my father hadn't saved my life when I was 1 year old. We were in a bad auto accident. Somebody ran a stop sign, smashed into our family's car, and I'd actually stopped breathing. And Dad, at that point, had just read about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Just odd. A few weeks prior to that, he'd actually read an article on how to do it. So my father stayed calm enough and found me in the wreckage and gave me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I had stopped breathing. If it hadn't been for my dad, I really wouldn't be here today. And so I will always be grateful to my father, not just because he saved my life, but because he was such a great father, period. And, you know, obviously my dad was important to me and crucial to me in a lot of ways. And let's go around the table, around the panel, get each of your thoughts on this. How important is the role of a father, especially in today's world? And Gary, we'll start with you. How crucial is the role of a father?
Well, I think the father's role is so important in the lives of children that if my daughter walked in and said, Dad, here's the man I'm going to marry, I would reach out and shake his hand and say, tell me about your relationship with your father. I think fathers have really been the forgotten family member, and it's so wonderful now that we have these fatherhood programs that sort of teach men and mentor men how to be a good father. And I think that I was really relating to your story. My father saved my life, too.
I was
on a boat in Lake Cumberland, and I happened to dive out of the boat with a life jacket on. He always taught me to wear a life jacket. And I dove through an inner tube, but I got stuck upside down.
Oh, no.
And so my head was in the water, and my feet were kicking. And my dad was on the shore and saw that I was in trouble and came out and saved me. And so to this day, anytime anybody talks about their father saving them, I go back to that early experience. So I guess maybe one of the things we could say makes a good father is that he's a protector.
Mm-hmm. Harold, how important is the role of a father?
Fathers are critical. They are critical in the growth and development of each and every child. You know, good or bad, you take those fatherly aspects that you learn from your father into how you parent your own children. And so, you know, to hear you and Gary's story, you know, for me, it's the reverse. I feel like, you know, as a father, you know, why it's so important is because, you know, I think about my own children. I feel like my children saved my life. You know, it really, you know, it you know, for me, it's, you know, thinking about, you know, the things that I used to do versus what I do now. Everything I do is for them.
You know, it's interesting you say that because my wife and I talk about how our children, they save your life in all kinds of ways because I know as I've gotten older, they level set my life. They give me a purpose for living and for doing the things that I do.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Leif, how important is that father's role?
One of my favorite writers, Richard Rohr, said something along the lines of a man isn't fully mature until he can devote himself to something outside of himself. And I think for a man, children give a man a wonderfully healthy and productive way to sort of devote himself to something larger or outside of himself. I would kind of agree with Harold that my kids have definitely made me a better man in a lot of ways, sort of having to step up and be a teacher and a protector and a guide to them. And also realizing that my children are just kind of placed in my care and it's my job to sort of launch them into the world as good people, good and happy people who can help spread love and good things around the planet. But the research is clear that fathers provide a tremendous boost to child's cognitive development, their emotional development, Dr. Dick could probably go into the research and cite study after study that would show that kids whose fathers are actively involved do better in terms of reading, language development. Boys whose fathers are around develop better empathy skills. Kids whose fathers are around tend to wait longer before they begin having sex. They are less likely to do drugs. They're more likely to finish school. I mean, just all across the board, every aspect of child well-being is impacted in a positive way by a father who's there and plugged in and doing his best to be there for his kids.
Have there been recent studies that show when a man becomes a father, it can actually change him on a biological level, alter his brain, that kind of thing?
I'd punt that one over to Gary.
Yeah, Gary, are you aware of anything like that?
Well, not off the top of my head, I'm not, but I do know that you'll often hear young fathers, as their wives are pregnant, talk about how they feel that they're going through the pregnancy too, even in the sense, a very psychological sense, that you'll hear guys now say, "We're pregnant," versus "My wife's pregnant." And they really, I think, begin to take an ownership, and you know, they watch what they eat along with their wives, and you know, they're really, you know, taking it to heart. You know, I've been going around the country the last couple of years interviewing fathers. I'm preparing a book on the diversity of American fathers. And one of the themes that emerged very, very, very early on in these interviews was that fathers can teach you how to be a father, or they can teach you how not to be a father. Mm-hmm. And I was interviewing a Pueblo Indian Native American in Santa Fe, and I asked him once, I said, "What did your father teach you about how to be a good father?" And he said, "Not very much. He taught me how to be not to be a father." Mm-hmm. And I think when we look at what makes a good father, it's really important to begin looking at the man's relationship with his own father. And a lot of times guys will want to, you know, be that great dad that their dad was and, you know, do all those wonderful things. And other times they have to begin to pick and choose role models in terms of this is how I want to be as a father. And I think a lot of times we don't take the time, except in the fatherhood programs we've got going on now, especially over at Talbert House, is that I think an important question to always ask a man, and this might help not only psychologically, but it helps him adjust to that role of being a father, is how do you want to be as a father? Maybe we could even begin with kids in preschool and kindergarten. You know, how do you want to be as a dad? And sometimes it's not just the father, but it's the uncle or the next door neighbor who models how to be a loving, nurturing father.
So I find that interesting, that it's possible to learn about being a good father from having a bad one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I had a young man I'd worked with for years. I'm a therapist also, and I see a lot of dads in therapy and a lot of young men in therapy and women. And one of the things that he said to me a couple years back was, you know, my wife is pregnant, and I'm terrified to have this baby and to be a father. And I said, well, just think about everything that you needed from your father that you didn't get, and can you then provide that to your own child?
You know, sometimes when people talk about the importance of fathers, someone might point out, well, are you putting down single mothers by promoting the importance of fatherhood? That's not the case, is it?
It's definitely not the case. I mean, I think we all would agree that, you know, the most important thing is for children to have two healthy parents. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, healthy parents, you know, I'm not talking about in the household. I mean, you know, obviously you have blended families. You have, you know, fathers that, you know, have their own household. The mom has their own household. But the most important thing is, you know, having that nurturing, committed, and involved father and mother, because that's what breeds healthiness. You know, when you have one parent that's not healthy, you know, that's something that child is lacking or not getting. And so, you know, when you think about fatherhood programs, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to do. We're trying to help fathers become nurturers. So, you know, again, and work towards healthiness in their own lives first, because that's where it has to start. You know, you talk about what Dr. Dick was just talking about a little bit. You know, towards the end of our Nurturing Fathers class, we do a class on healing the father's wound. And within that class, there's some role playing. And so the first part of it is the things that I needed to hear. And so, I mean, it's by far the most emotional thing I've ever seen. And so what happens is you have men that go around. If you have 10 people in a room, you have 5 that sit down, and you have another man that stands behind a total stranger. And so what they do is they say that single most thing that they wanted to hear from their father. And after they do that, I mean, you get guys that are so emotional and just saying things like, I've never heard that. And just hearing it from a stranger made me feel a certain way. So, you know, we're talking about wounds when we're talking about these things, these unmet needs. And so, you know, it's important to make sure that, you know, we continue to support fathers and give them the emotional support they need so they can be the best fathers they can be to their children.
You know, a lot of times on TV and in the movies, the father is portrayed as an oaf or a fall guy or somewhat incompetent. Is there a man who
barely knows how to pick out his own toothpaste?
Right. Yeah. Is there a move on to change that whole image?
I'm not sure. I don't have my finger on the pulse of the future of media to know. But there are, I mean, it's true. There are relatively few very sort of strong, competent father figures portrayed on television these days and certainly on TV commercials.
One of our biggest role models right now would be Barack Obama. I mean, the president is a very nurturing father. He's with his girls a lot, and I just saw an interview with him the other day, and he was talking about their friends and dating and such. And I think he's been an excellent role model, despite the fact that sometimes in the TV shows and such that dads are still kind of, you know, don't know exactly what's going on in the world with their kids, you know. And I think we've come a long way, but I think we have a lot further to go. You know, I think if you go back and look at some of the television shows of the 50s, although those were really characters of an idealized model, you know, it's the dad that can be interesting in their children, certainly nurturing, listening to them, being there for them. I think that as a therapist, one of the things I've found that is so important is I think people really have a great need to feel internally known, emotionally known. And I think when your father understands you and he emotionally gets you, you're so much better equipped to go into the world and be a nurturing and kind and understanding person yourself. But I think we have a long way to go in terms of that reasonable, really reality-based dad, you know, that's able to balance all these roles out.
And I agree with that, Gary. It's a lot of the fathers that I see in my practice also are sort of boxed in by a blend of cultural expectations, what they did or didn't get from their own father. Kind of sometimes the difficulty negotiating their way into a full fathering role with their, in many of the situations I see with their wives, who run the household, who have it all going on, and dad works and he comes home at the end of the day and tries to plug in, and he's kind of struggling sometimes to know, well, where do I fit? And so men being men go into problem-solving mode or go into fix-it mode or go into run-the-show mode. And you know, they plug in around homework or they try to plug in with sports, which is a wonderful way to engage with kids, obviously coaching and being involved in kids' sports and all that kind of stuff. But even those guys who are working really hard to engage, to figure out how to engage with their families and with their kids, still sometimes feel stuck in that they're in this role where they're just kind of doling out discipline or they're giving advice, often unsolicited. And men are struggling to find a deeper way to connect, I think. And if they can do that work and really work to, and it always goes back, as you say, Gary, to dealing with their own relationship with their own father, engage with that work, they can really plug in a nice way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know, we were talking earlier about the non-residential father. And Aurora Jackson out at UCLA has done a lot of research on the non-residential father. And one of the things, some of her findings are just fascinating, but she found out that for single mothers where the non-residential father was supportive of her, in other words, he was providing financial support, he was involved with the children, they had a good relationship, these kids did way better than kids where the father was not involved with them, both socially and also cognitively, plus these mothers were not as depressed. So even though the father wasn't living with them, he was still providing a nurturing financial support of both her and his children, and these kids did better. So getting that dad involved in a way that is meaningful to him and important to his children is the way to go.
We'll continue our discussion about fatherhood after the break, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Tell us about the qualities you think are important to being a good dad. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. My guests this afternoon are Dr. Leif Noll with the Family Success Consortium, Director of the Fatherhood Project with Talbert House, Harold Howard, and Dr. Gary Dick, Professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati. Harold, tell me about some of the programs that you have going on at Talbert House that teach young men how they can be better fathers.
Yeah. At the Fatherhood Project, we help men on a number of fronts. Obviously, we provide case management services. And what we're trying to accomplish there is just assisting men in overcoming any barriers that's preventing them from being the father that they choose to be to their children. Typically, we serve about 200, 250 men a year around things from child support, custody, visitation, housing, employment, things of that nature. But the other part, too, I think is key is education. One of the things that, I've found in 11 years I've been doing fatherhood work is that there's a lot of miseducation about, father's rights when it comes to child support, when it comes to visitation and custody. And so, for us, a big part of that as well is just to continue the education piece and make sure that fathers have accurate information about their situation. We also provide nurturing fathers classes. We provide 3 10-week classes a year. Nurturing fathers classes is truly designed to, assist men in becoming whole, becoming healthy, so they can be the father, that they choose to be to their children. We provide legal representation for our fathers, that's going through family law related issues in the court system. We do father-child activities that are, typically educational in nature. We take them to Wright Patt Air Force Base, to the museum, things that allow us to see how fathers engage and play with their children. And then for them, obviously allows them to do things with their children that, potentially they can't afford to do. And then the other part is the alumni. We keep all fathers involved and engaged long term. There is no success or completed successfully with us. We want to keep them involved and engaged because they're healthy fathers. And, it's such a stigma that comes with the word fatherhood sometimes. We want to give back to the community healthy fathers that are doing extraordinary things out in our community to be a part of their children's lives.
And Leif, what about yourself? What are some of the programs that you're involved in for fostering fatherhood?
I have my finger in a lot of different fatherhood pies. In my practice at Family Success Consortium, I work with men and men in relationships. So I see about 60% of my practice is men, and then another 40% is couples, married couples. But I've been volunteering at the Fatherhood Project at Talbert House for a number of years, back into the days when it was with SUMA around the early 2000s. Both Harold and I are on the board of the Ohio Practitioners Network for Fathers and Families, and Harold is our esteemed vice president of that organization at this point. And I've done consulting with agencies like Beach Acres and Every Child Succeeds in developing ways to work with Every Child Succeeds home visitors to get more savvy about reaching out to fathers in among the population they serve. So this is an issue as a father that's dear to my heart. And there are a remarkable group of people in this community who are devoted to serving fathers even better. There's a new organization called the Fatherhood Collaborative of Hamilton County that's kind of a conglomerate of several agencies from around the city who recently put on a series of weekend events over Father's Day weekend to draw more attention to fathers and to provide fathers a place to gather and ask for what they need and speak to the community.
And you had some Father's Day events going on over the weekend, didn't you, Harold, that were quite interesting?
We did. We had our fourth, I'm losing track, that's how you know it's been going for a while,
fourth annual
yeah. Fatherhood celebration down at Sawyer Point. And it's just our way of giving back to the community. Again, we talk, sometimes we we over-glorify the fathers that are not doing great things. But, you know, this event was an opportunity for us to just know, to recognize and honor fathers that are doing extraordinary things out in the community. So, you know, we had a live band down there. We had the Bengals cheerleaders, inflatables, lots of arts and crafts. Just an opportunity for fathers just to have fun with their children. Everything was free. So that event drew over 3,000 people, which we're very excited about, and the weather cooperated, which was important this year as well. And then obviously on Saturday was the Juneteenth Festival, and the theme of Juneteenth this year was to celebrate and honor fathers. And as Leif was talking about, on Friday we held our first County Collaborative Fatherhood Summit. It drew about 100 fathers and their children, and it was just an opportunity for us to learn from fathers. Again, what are some of the barriers? What are some of the concerns? You know, how can social service agencies serve you better? Because again, when we all come together and we're all on the same accord, truly at its core, is not only helping fathers, but it's helping children and families as well.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Was Father's Day a happy day yesterday for you and your father and your kids? Let us know that. Let us know what qualities you think make up a good father. 513-419-7100. Gary, fatherhood's been evolving so much. When did fatherhood in America begin to change? This has been a long-term shift, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Probably it goes back to about the about 1975. There was a researcher, Michael Lamb, out of Baltimore, who began to write about the father's role in child development. And his research showed that if fathers are there and available and emotionally responding to the child, that these children will attach and bond to the father just as much as they will with the mother. And then I think we started seeing, I remember when SUMA first started here in Cincinnati, that program really worked hard to, you know, get the Fatherhood Initiative going. And one of my most memorable experiences with that was they had invited me over to give a little talk to the graduating fathers. And it was held at the Art Institute. And it was really one of the most emotional experiences I had, to sit there and look at, say, 25 fathers sitting there with their children, and all of their families were there with them to support them. And then as time went on, you know, certainly Beach Acres and Talbert House, Lighthouse Youth Services really began to get more involved with fathers. And I think that it's continuing to change. In fact, one of the studies, this was an interesting one done out of Boston, where they ask fathers what kind of role do they want to embrace in terms of being a father. And it wasn't just, I want to be a good provider. It was, I want to be a nurturing dad, and I want to be available and there for my kids. I want to raise my children. And I think we've seen this. And yet in some subcultures where men may not have these kind of role models, they may not know how to be nurturing. They may not have the education. And that's why the programs, such as the fatherhood programs here in town, are so important, because they really do help fathers, families, and children. One of the interesting things going on in the state is at Summit County Children's Services, they have actually incorporated a fatherhood program right into the child welfare program. So when there's been abuse and neglect investigations, or they're trying to get fathers reengaged with their children, they have folks like Harold and his team right there in Children's Services going out and engaging these fathers. And a few years ago, I really had it was a great honor to be able to interview some of these fathers. And some of these men had been in prison. They had drug records, you know, history of drug abuse. And yet here they were, they wanted to be a good father, and they were stepping up to the plate. They were involved in the fatherhood programs, and they were wanting to be involved with their children in a very meaningful way. So when we look at the array of fathers and what makes a good dad, there's such diversity in fatherhood, and I think we have to really look at not only marginalized fathers who have had tough social experiences, but all fathers. You know, lots of men could benefit from a fatherhood program.
You know, a father, you're right, plays so many different roles, and from my personal experience, I think the multitasking that you have to do is the tough part of being a father. Now, my wife is great at doing a lot of different things all at once. So being a mother came naturally to her, while being a father was a little bit tougher for me to get a hold of. And do you think that's just true in general, that women are better able to adapt to motherhood while it's tougher for men to adjust to being a father?
I wouldn't dare put my multitasking skills up against my wife or any other woman's multitasking skills. In fact, I think there's some research that shows that men think we're good at multitasking, but women, in fact, are much better at multitasking than we are. I'm sorry, I cracked a joke and forgot your question.
Just basically, is it?
I wanted to respond to that too, because I think.
Go ahead, bail us out, Gary.
When you talk about multitasking, I'm always trying to figure out what just flew across my radar screen that I really needed to pay attention to.
Yeah, I think that was important. What was that again? Yeah.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Isabella in Kenwood. Good afternoon, Isabella.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What's your question?
I was in this class about, like, sexism and racism, and one of the things that came up in sexism is, like, same-sex marriage, and a lot of negative remarks came in having two same-sex parents. And I think that what's great about you guys is you're trying to value fathers, but is it really different than being a mother? Can they provide the same role? Is it just parenthood that's important, or does one sex have a different job as a parent than the other?
Oh, good question.
It's a great question. I think, again, mothers bring one set of values to the relationship, the father to the child relationship, and so does fathers. And I think equally both roles are just as important. Obviously we know that there are more single moms than there are single fathers, and moms and mothers do such a great job as single parents. But there are fathers that do such a great job as well. I think, you know, to best answer your question, you know, I always believe that, that saying that it takes a village to raise a child. And so, again, when a mother is not involved or when a father is not involved, that's why it really is critical that whoever that parent in that position does a great job of being, you know, a healthy parent to that child and making sure that they find a way to substitute the things that's lacking out of that toolbox with some substance of a male figure if the father is not there, or in the case of the mother, you know, some mother figure, because I think that balance is important. And obviously, as I said before, we typically parent the way that we were parented. We only know what we want, what we know. And so if we're missing that from our mother, or we're missing that for our father, you know, as the other parent, yes, you can do an extraordinary job as a mother or a father. But I think it's just as critical as you surround that child with other people in that village that can kind of substitute that other piece of the nurturing piece that they may be missing.
Yeah, I was raised for a time by a single mother who did a heroic job of providing everything she could. One of the things she provided was access to male role models. She made sure that I had, for instance, an uncle in my life who was very involved. I raised my two daughters as a single father for a time, and it was important to me to have healthy and positive female figures in their lives. I have a nephew who's being raised by two mothers, and they're doing a fantastic job with him as parents. But they're also pretty mindful that they have men in his life also. So I think they're mindfully sort of being inclusive around what, you know, having both male and female figures in their child's life. It's not to say they couldn't do a perfectly fine job raising my nephew completely just the two of them, because they're doing a wonderful job, and he's an awesome kid, and they're amazing parents.
I think one of the issues Isabella has brought up is our culture is changing, and after the June 26th ruling by the Supreme Court last year about equality in marriage, that it's only a matter of time before same-sex marriages are recognized across the United States. And if we look at the public opinion polls, it's up in the high 50s, almost 60%, that are approving of equality. And then when you look at that by specific groups, younger people, Democrats versus Republicans, you know, there's been a drastic change in that. And I think that one of the things that people will have to probably experience on a very personal, firsthand basis, like you have just mentioned, is that when you know a same-sex couple that is raising a child, in many ways what we have to look at is what is the roles and the function that each parent provides. Mm-hmm. Some are more good at nurturing, some are the organizer, some are a better provider. But if we would move away from kind of this the strict dividing line between masculinity and femininity and look at androgyny, meaning if the child needs something, what parent is able to provide that? Do they need nurturing, comfort, understanding, problem solving? And if we move out of some of the sexist roles that we have all been locked into, children are going to respond very well and also be better adapted. Some of the research coming out with children that are raised by same-sex couples are actually healthier when you look at a number of psychosocial variables.
Isabella, thank you for your question. We appreciate it. And let's talk with Angie in Glendale. Good afternoon, Angie.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, hi, good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Great discussion today. And my comment comes from the perspective of being a single mother and then being raised from a single father, where in my case, my daughter's father is still very involved, even though he lives 3 hours away. And then my case growing up, my mother was still very involved. But one thing I think is important is education for the single mothers to recognize the needs of a father. And inherently, if you know a man wants to be valued and a man wants to be respected and feel like what he's doing is good, and if the mother's expectations are so high or in such a way that really what she wants are her personal needs fulfilled and he's not doing that, he's naturally going to shy away and stay away from the kids. And I think if we can somehow educate too the mothers that, you know, you have to recognize what the child's father is good at and what he's able to do, and don't have these expectations crazy, it will build over the years to probably be a really good situation. So my thing is just making sure that the mothers are even educated as to what the dads can bring and what they do bring to the table and what they can bring versus
point.
Having a set number of expectations and the guys are like, forget it, I'll never reach that. She's a BI, whatever, and I'm done, you know?
Yeah, Angie, I appreciate you saying that because I think that's the evolution of fatherhood work as well. You know, for so many years, we have just focused on, you know, the healthiness of the father, also because he can become the best father that he can be to his children. But, you know, you look at it from the legal standpoint. You have fathers and mothers who go into court all the time and battle over custody and visitation of their children. And the reality of it is, you know, a judge or magistrate can give you visitation, custody of your child. But really how that kind of plays out over the next 18 years really is contingent upon a relationship truly between that father and that mother. If that relationship is volatile, you know, they're not going to abide by that custody or visitation plan. So, you know, what one of the new components that we added at the Fatherhood Project is the co-parenting piece to kind of address this, to address the whole communication piece between the mother and father, so both parties really truly understand what the other needs to be supportive moving forward. So I'll let Leif talk a little bit more about that piece.
Yeah, and that's been some very challenging work, because at the core of these relationships where the mother isn't so open to having the father involved is a lot of pain ultimately down underneath. There's a lot of anger and there's a lot of using the courts back and forth, but ultimately there's a relationship there that somehow caused both parties a great deal of pain, and there's a ton of mistrust and a lot of that, a lot to work through. And so the challenge is how to engage the mothers in a conversation such that we can help them just move a little bit toward each other into a co-parenting relationship. And that research finding is pretty consistent across the board, that the quality of a father's relationship with his children depends on the quality of his relationship with the child's mother. And this applies in non-married, non-residential kinds of fathers that we serve in the Fatherhood Project to, you know, middle class, upper middle class working fathers too. The better the relationship is between the co-parents, the better the quality of the father's relationship can be with his child.
Gary, anything you want to add?
I really like the call-in comment, because I think that a lot of times the relationship with the mother can be a barrier. And if the mother can separate out her issues with the father of the child, and resolve those and work toward having a better co-parent relationship, as Leif was saying, those children are going to do better. But the relationship may end. Divorce may be the legal indicator that it's over, but that is still the father. Mm-hmm. And so I'm up in Akron, Ohio today doing a seminar, and one of the things that we were just talking about is that in domestically violent situations, the children that do the best are the children whose mothers do not get as depressed, and they do not alienate the father from the children, and their level of parenting stays, you know, pretty much at the same level. Those kids do better than mothers who are really angry at the fathers for good reasons. I mean, there's reasons to be angry. But if they can work through those issues, the children are going to do better.
Angie, thank you for your comment. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Jay in Over the Rhine. Good afternoon. Did I say that correctly? Is it Jay?
Hello?
Hello. Is it Jay? Is that right?
It is.
Okay.
It is Jay.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
What's your question or comment?
No question, just a very grateful comment. I'd like to thank yourself, as well as Dr. Noel and Mr. Howard and Dr. Dick, for bringing this conversation to my attention today. I had a really rough time yesterday with Father's Day, and it was mostly because my father was not present in my life. My stepfather, although present, was not a very nurturing man, and sadly, my children's father is not very active in their lives. And what I find encouraging and brings me hope is this idea of conversing about it, the idea of providing resources to dads who are not sure where to go and even sure if they can handle the responsibility. Yesterday was a really hard day, but today the sun shines, and hearing this conversation, I have hope for not only the father of my children, who though up until this point has not been very present, that there are resources out there for him, and that there is hope that if he's willing to do the work, when you use terms like wounds and healing and, you know, things like that, I've spent the last 10 years as a single mom doing my healing work, but I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful for conversations, because at the end of the day, that's how change begins.
Thank you very much, Jay. We appreciate the comment.
Thanks for saying that, Jay.
Thank you.
Let's talk with Sean in Cincinnati. Sean, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Good, thank you. And what's your question?
Well, I'm going to be moving in with my girlfriend, her son. And I've done the mathematics, and I'm going to be seeing her son be part of his life more than his father will be. Mm-hmm. Father is in the picture one day a week. I was just wondering, is there anything out there that can help me be a good role model, good person for this 5-year-old child?
Good question. Thank you, Sean.
Sean, I took on that role myself about a year ago, and I'm working my way into it, step-parenting a child, two of them, in fact. And there are a few good books out there. There's a little bit of good research on blended families and step-parenting. There's a website called the National Healthy Step-Parenting Resource Center. I think that's what it's called. There's some great kind of how-to sort of ideas there. But I think the thing is to go gently. Don't try to force yourself into a role. Let the relationship kind of, you know, tell you what the child needs. Be most of all really on the same page as your co-parent, and it'll be your job for a while to follow her lead in terms of parenting. But we could do a whole thing on step parenting and the challenges and gifts that role brings. But I think just get out there online, read up as much as you can, go to the library, see if you can find books on step parenting and blended families. There's a growing literature there for that.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. Dr. Leif Noel with the Family Success Consortium, Director of the Fatherhood Project with Talbert House, Harold Howard, and Dr. Gary Dick, Professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati.